Now we're going to shift gears, as we do every Friday at 7:30, is our good friend Dan Klaskins. He is the host of Fantastics on Sirius XM, as well as a ranker writer for Pro Football Focus Fantasy, and of course his podcast, Get Sports Info. A lot of great information, a lot of great stuff from Dan. We're all ready to get going and getting you help setting your lineups for this weekend. How you doing, Dan?
What's up, gents? Oh, man, week 9. Time is a flying.
It's just going by like crazy. I'm going to give you a first kind of a general question, but it's probably potential a lot of answers here, is what did Tuesday's trade deadline, who are some of the players that are most affected by that, either both positively or negatively in regards to fantasy value?
Yeah, I mean, it was getting pretty fun there. It's almost feeling like the MLB trade deadline.
Yeah, it was.
Fantasy and several deals. I mean, three in particular on Tuesday. Obviously, you had Golden Tate going over to the Eagles from the Lions. That, to me, is probably the biggest fantasy impact of these three deals. Tate, a guy that's caught three straight years now. He's caught 90 balls from Matthew Stafford. So I think losing that from him makes Stafford, who's, let's face it, hasn't even really put up QB1 numbers all season, makes him even less likely to do so. So I think Matthew Stafford's one of the bigger losers. And on the flip side of that, Carson Wentz, he's a winner in this, as is, I believe, Golden Tate, who might take him a couple weeks. He gets a bye this week. But by the end of the season, playoff time, this guy is going to be into that offense. Demaryius Thomas also getting dealt over to Houston. It's pretty interesting. Houston and Denver play in Denver this week. So Demaryius Thomas getting traded eventually, you know, I mean, basically staying in Denver this week. So, but the real winner there is Cortland Sutton, the rookie, who now goes into that role. We'll see a little bit more expanded volume. And then, you know, you look at, in terms of the third deal, Ty Montgomery, he was shipped off from the Packers to the Ravens. And this one's a little interesting. Buck Allen, he's been doing some stuff there, but I think eventually Ty Montgomery works into his role. But I'm looking at the biggest winners really being Carson Wentz, Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate. I really like what it did for Cortland Sutton. I think Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay get a boost. And with Ty Montgomery going out, I think the biggest factor there is Aaron Jones, who we've been talking a lot about all season with potential, and he's just been looking for opportunity. I think opportunities might be coming now with Montgomery out of the mix.
Dan, should I rev up the Nick Mullins fantasy train wagon here, or should I hold off?
Well, first of all, I'm still a little perturbed because in a couple spots, once I heard he was starting, who, I'll be honest, I knew very little about, I picked up the Raiders defense in a couple spots, and that ended up backfiring. And then on top of that, somebody actually picked up Nick Mullins and played him against me in one of my leagues, which was...
We should be talking to him. Why are we?
Fantasy league.
Hey, I was wondering.
You know what, though? He looked pretty good. CJ Beathard's been struggling the last couple games. So they don't play again until next Monday night. We might see him make a second start. We'll see.
I was wondering how high, where would you exactly rank Fitzmagic on your list of fantasy quarterbacks right now?
Well, I mean, we saw what he did. I mean, outside of that Bears debacle, he was pretty much one of the top fantasy players in there. Now, week 9, I don't think it's the best matchup. It's at Carolina. That said, with 6 teams on by, short term, I look at him as a top 10 QB. I find it tough to think that Jameis Winston, barring injury, will play again this year. Who knows? That is just speculation. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going to have some low floors when he has those big 4 interception games. But I think definitely a guy that is more than likely, on a bad defense and with some of the weapons he has around him, going to be a fantasy asset here down the stretch.
Dan, we don't talk a whole lot about defenses, but is the Chicago Bears defense, whether Khalil Mack plays or not, a must-start against Nathan Peterman?
Well, I think they're a must-start almost every week. It's funny, we talk about Mullen. Even though I knew as little as I did about him last night, I still ranked him ahead of Nathan Peterman. So... I will say I got at least that part right, but I don't know how you can start him. I mean, I do think Buffalo's defense is highly underrated, so maybe they keep him in the game. But the Bears, it doesn't matter if Mac plays this week. They're going to be starting in just about any fantasy lineups where owners have that luxury.
Dan, I want to stick with the quarterback talk. Russell Wilson, the guy has really been disappointing this year, but last week had a big game against Detroit. I believe threw a touchdown pass every 6 attempts or something crazy, something crazy ratio like that. Is he back to now starting, a must-start now for Russell Wilson?
I won't call him, well, a couple things. One, I won't really call him disappointing because, you know, if you look at the bigger scope of work here for the season, he's putting up numbers. He threw three touchdowns last week, and he did so for the third straight week. He's accomplished that feat. Now, there was some tough sledding early on. The big thing with Russell Wilson is the pass attempts are down. He's only gone over 26 pass attempts twice all season. They came in the first 2 weeks of the year. But he has multiple passing touchdowns now in 6 of 7. As I mentioned, three straight games with three touchdowns. But in those games, 21, 23, and 17 pass attempts. So that suggests some big regression is going to be ahead. And the biggest concern I have regarding his fantasy value finishing as QB1 a year ago was he was doing it on the ground. And to this point, we have yet to see that part of his game. He's only he has yet to go over 22 yards in a single game. And you look back at last year, there were only 4 games of his 16 where he failed to reach that mark. So that's going to hurt him. I think eventually the touchdowns won't come, and that's why he has a pretty low floor. And I don't know if it happens this week, but enter at your own risk. The schedule is very favorable down the stretch, though. So if you have Russell Wilson, you're probably just going to ride this thing out.
We already talked about the trade deadline, some of the players that were affected by it, but how about two guys I want to bring up who could have a bigger roles in their teams really due to injuries? Devontae Parker from Miami and DJ Moore from Carolina, who really got involved last week. What do you think their roles are going forward in fantasy lineups?
Well, Devontae Parker, I mean, you're talking about high first-round talent, but you're also talking about a guy that's got a lot of injury and durability concerns. The injuries are mounting there in Miami. I think that's what led to all the opportunities. He didn't get traded at the deadline, so that's interesting. And I don't know, with Brock Osweiler in there, I still have a tough time trusting it. So I saw him go very heavily in Fab this week. I think Devontae Parker has the talent to have a big game on any Sunday, but I think more often than not, he's going to burn you. So I'm not all that excited about him. And DJ Moore, long-term, this is a guy that I definitely think has some dynasty value and stuff. But once again, I think consistency is going to be what's going to be hard to come by for him. Especially, you know, as a rookie trying to work his way through the league.
So it's time, Dan, to go with our must-sits and must-plays in the top position here. So kind of give us a couple of top guys, a quarterback, receiver, running back, maybe even tight end as well.
Yeah, so, you know, just looking at my rankings and how they stack up against some of the others in the industry at Fantasy Pros where they score all these things. I definitely like I think, you know, I'm looking at quarterback, not a big name, really a lot of big names sticking out up there that are that out of line. But Kirk Cousins, I think, you know, he's a guy that continues to get overlooked. This Detroit defense doesn't really scare me that much. I think as well, Drew Brees, I mean, I just can't wait to watch this Rams and Saints game. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring going on there. And I'm really excited. You know, guys I don't like a lot at quarterback is Ben Roethlisberger would have to make that list. I mean, you're talking about he's on the road, so we've all heard about those splits. But then, yeah, to it, he's placing a Baltimore team. Baltimore has allowed just 3 top 12 scoring running backs at home since the start of the 2016 season. That is a big statement there. So Big Ben is in for a bad day. Running back, there's a lot of problems this week because of 6 teams on byes and injuries and what have you. But I'm really, really liking what I see in a lot of fronts there. Kareem Hunt, the guy that I'm just in love with right now. I mean, only Todd Gurley scored more fantasy points over the last 3 games. He's facing that Browns defense. I think he's going to have a field day. I'm not as excited about some of the other options out there. I mean, some guys, I think Kevin Coleman continues to let owners down, having a tough time trusting him. I'm having a tough time trusting Kenyon Drake, even though he gets it up in there. And then every receiver, you want a sleeper this week. Let me give you Tre'Quan Smith. We talked about that shootout there. That I expect to be with the Rams and the Saints. This one's at home. And, you know, filling in for Ted Ginn is basically what this guy's doing. And Ted Ginn used to be money at home. So that's the only home game since Ginn's left where Tre'Quan Smith played. He got 2 touchdowns and had 111 yards. I think he has a sneaky potential this week. And definitely done with Doug Baldwin, too. I mean, Russell Wilson, we talk about all these touchdown passes he's thrown, but Doug Baldwin has yet to catch one all season, which is pretty remarkable. I don't think he's at 100%. And tight end, let's finish there. I definitely think Jimmy Graham is a guy that is really popping up my board. And I'm backing off a little bit here, fellas. I mean, Trey Burton, you're probably going to start him if you need him, but as I mentioned, Buffalo has a pretty good defense, and they've been pretty tough on the tight end position, so I think he's going to have a pretty mediocre performance here in week number 9.